just in time for Christmas, here's episode 26 of The Artist Rolls, our interview with author Laurie Thompson.
So we start by asking you what your familiarity with role-playing games or Dungeons and Dragons or something like that is. Do you have any?
Well, you're looking at me like I probably don't know what you're talking about. Is the look in your eye? But it might surprise you to find out that I played religiously every Sunday, all throughout my middle school years. My brother is 5 years older than me, and he wanted to play with his friends. And, you know, I think my mom didn't know what he was talking about, and, you know, she didn't want to investigate it, didn't have the internet then, she couldn't just pop on and say, what is this thing? And so her solution to all these kind of questionable things that my older brother wanted to do was, well, sure, you can do it as long as you take Laurie along. She knew that I was a rule follower, and so if there was anything too kind of outside the lines, I would tattle. Yeah, he's my older brother. If you can get him in trouble, you go for it, right? So he took me along, and you know, here I am playing with this group of high school guys, really, really geeky, nerdy guys, but great guys. And they just welcomed me in and brought me along, and didn't matter that I was 5 years younger than them.
Boy, especially at that age, that's a big gap.
It's a huge gap, and you know, thinking about it now, and with my own kids, I think, oh, why didn't they just stick me in a corner and tell me to shut up, you know? But they just welcomed me in, and I was an equal member of the group, and we had a great time.
It's interesting that at that time the boys welcomed you in and let you participate.
And you know, maybe it was because they knew that they wouldn't get to play if they didn't. Who knows? You know, I was their ticket, and so they made do. I don't know, but no, they're a great group of guys.
Welcome to The Artist Rolls, a new perspective on creators and creating. I'm Sean Mitchell.
And I'm Jamie Gower. And with us today is Laurie Thompson, a children and young adult author, and most recently the author of Be a Changemaker. And also an author who had a book out with probably my favorite title ever, which is My Dog is the Best, because I've certainly been in that one as well. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to The Artist Rolls.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
All right. So we had you roll the D4, and you got 3. And tell me about your 3-word motto.
Okay. For my 3-word motto, I chose do unto others. I think that's pretty much the most basic rule for life, and try to keep it in mind in the things that I do, and hope that other people do as well. So,
Has that come into play recently? Or do you put it into effect every day?
Well, yeah, I try to put it into effect every day, and I think it's a big part of my book that just came out this week, Be a Changemaker. You know, I think we all want to make the world a better place. And the way to do that is to think about, you know, what needs improving, what needs fixing, and what would I change if I could? So,
right.
How would I make life better for somebody else or for myself? Mm-hmm. But
all right, well, let's go on to the second section of the character sheet. It's the roles roll. We're going to give you a D8.
All right.
Huh? And a D10. And that is a 7.
All right.
What we're going to ask you to do is divide those 7 points among the roles you see there.
And for those of you playing at home, may I note that Laurie is using the purple pen.
The purple pen.
Which is extremely stylish.
I put a 0 for studio artist, 1 for performer, 4 for writer, 1 for director, and 1 for producer.
Okay. So you spend most of your time writing. That seems reasonable.
Or I should, or I hope to. Yeah. It hasn't been the case lately with the book just coming out. These have been a little shifted, but looking forward to getting back to this more normal balance.
So what has shifted and why with the book coming out?
I'm more in the performer role right now, I guess. Just had the book launch party on Sunday, you know, almost 100 people there on stage talking about it and stuff. So that's more performer than I generally am. I'm recording a podcast today. That's certainly not something I typically do, so more performer role than normal. Producer, kind of getting the word out there and working on the promotion and the marketing side of things.
How many times have you done this? Is this something you kind of know you have to do, but it's not really your favorite, or is the promotion part of the whole deal?
Well, this is my first book.
Okay.
So it's my first time through this. I spent a lot of energy and time on the marketing side because it's my first book. You know, you kind of want to start big and then hopefully build from there. Mm-hmm. So maybe I won't be doing quite so much for the follow-on books. I knew I was going to have to do a lot of that side. It's kind of where authors are at today. You know, publishers, their budgets have gotten smaller and smaller, and they're doing less and less for the books directly. And so more is falling on the author to get the word out and promote their own books. So authors can't just really sit at home in a cave and write anymore. We have to get out and do that. So I knew a lot of that was coming. I didn't exactly know what or in what form. I had a few ideas for things I knew I wanted to do, but then kind of my motto was just say yes. You know, if an opportunity comes up, somebody's interested in talking about the book, just say yes. You know, can you do a school visit? Sure.
Yeah.
I've never talked to 50 high schoolers at once before, but sure, we can do that, you know. And, you know, things like the podcast. Can you do a podcast? Sure. just say yes when the opportunities arise. So it's taken me in some really interesting new places that I wouldn't have expected to go and I wouldn't have planned for. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And have you organized some of these events, or is it really just people come to you and say, do this?
Some I've organized. You know, the launch party was me putting that on, and I hired a publicity firm and they set up a blog tour for me. They did all the planning and organizing, but then I had to write all the guest posts and, you know, interviews and do all the things that went into that blog tour. So
what is a blog tour? I've never heard that term before.
So there's not enough money for authors to go on the road and do actual book tours anymore, unless they're huge names and they're going to draw big crowds. It's just not worth it to the author's time or to the people sending them around the country, buying airplane tickets and things, to send them on a physical tour, to go to bookstores, to sit there at a desk and have two people come and buy your book. So, so you know, everybody's online now. And so it's kind of switched to more authors are doing blog tours. And what that means is, you know, there's book bloggers out there who that's what they do, is they review books, and they're kind of the tastemakers now, and sharing books that they find. So when you're an author, you can say, hey, you know, do you want to look at my book? Would you be interested in featuring it on your blog? And then, you know, if they say yes, they might say, yeah, it's great. Will you write a guest post for me? Or, you know, can we do an interview? Sometimes they don't want to talk to you. They'll just review the book and talk about it themselves. So it really varies depending on the blogger. But it's a way to get the word out there to all their unique audiences, you know, from the comfort of your home, which we writers really like.
So was this primarily through book blogs, or was there any sort of, are there any sort of social entrepreneurship blogs that...
I didn't target any social entrepreneurship blogs. All the ones I did so far have been book blogs, but that's a great idea.
Because I got to admit, the whole thing of the social entrepreneurship aimed at the young adult audience is like, makes perfect sense.
Well,
it does to me, and yet I haven't seen anybody do this before.
Yeah.
So that's very cool.
Yeah, I've been working on this book for 10 years. I started this book in 2004, and I can't believe that 10 years later, nobody scooped me. You know, no one else. There are no books like this that focus specifically on social entrepreneurship for teens, and I just can't believe it that went that long without somebody coming along and doing it.
Is that a blessing or a curse, being the first? Because if you're writing the next one, like, for instance, if you write a young adult dystopia with a romantic triangle,
it's been done.
There's a market.
Right.
And you hand it to people, and they know what to do with it. They go, oh, we put it over here. We talk this way about it. Are you finding it's easier or harder to talk about your book because it is new?
I wasn't sure before it came out which way it would go. And I think it's working out very well.
Good.
You know, if I'd been able to get the book out sooner, I'm not sure it would have. I think I hit the sweet spot as far as timing goes. You know, we have the maker culture coming into its own right now, and the whole do-it-yourself movement. And there also seems to be this kind of theme of empowerment. You know, if you listen, I have kids, so I listen to pop music a lot. And a lot of the songs, you know, Roar and Firework and, you know, the Katy Perry songs and Brave. And, you know, a lot of these songs have these themes of don't let anybody put you down anymore. You know, stand up for yourself and get out there and do something. And so I think kind of where we're at as a culture is at that right moment for this book to come out. And so people are getting really excited about it. And and I think I got lucky with the timing as far as that goes. You know, you wouldn't say it taking 10 years is lucky, but in this case, I think it really was, because I think the world is ready for it.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to move on to the third section of our character sheet, which is the mediums roll. You're going to take these two dice again and give them a roll.
Maybe I can get better than average this time.
Possibly.
No, of course not.
2 and 4, which makes 6. Okay.
All right.
You now have 6 points to divide among these mediums.
5,
live,
okay.
Audio, video, physical, and print web. You answer very fast, which is cool, but it's real interesting. We've had people agonize
over it. All right. Well, I put 5 on print web because that's what I do. I make books. Uh-huh. I put 1 on live because there is an element of me being out there doing school visits, talking to people. And I give the rest all 0s. Mm-hmm. Video, audio, physical. I'm here today, so that's audio.
How much time do you spend managing your online presence?
The Kidlit community, both people who write and, you know, teachers and parents and people who are trying to get books in the hands of kids, librarians, there's this really great community around kids' books online. And, you know, we're all really passionate about the same thing, and I think in order to dedicate your life to children's literature, you have to be a fairly good person. So they're all really supportive and really encouraging. And it's a really vibrant community where, you know, they're writers and readers. And so it's a natural place for them to be on the internet, you know. And so Twitter is just, there's always something happening and always people to engage with. And so I find it really nourishing. And, you know, as a writer, we spend a lot of time alone, just toiling away. And it's really nice to kind of poke your head up and connect with somebody who cares what you're doing. What I find is if I go into it thinking, oh, I have to promote my book today, then it feels like a drag, you know, like, oh, what am I going to do and how am I going to do it? And it feels really burdensome and dry. Mm-hmm. It's like, talking about me again. but if I look at it as, oh, who's online? Who am I going to get to talk to? You know, then it's exciting. And it's like a party.
All right. So we are at the halfway point of this episode of The Artist Rolls. We will be back in a minute with Lori Thompson.
To find out more about Lori or any of our guests, go to theartistrolls.com. You'll find scans of their forms, graphs, and links to their latest work. There's also a contact form if you'd like to be a guest on the show. So like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and tell your friends about The Artist Rolls.
Welcome back to the second half of The Artist Rolls. We're here with Lori Thompson. And now we move on to section 4 of the character sheet. Style. You know, when you said chaotic good earlier, this is kind of like that diagram where you've got the one axis, which is from chaotic to lawful and from good to evil. This is a similar diagram, except it goes from collaborative to solo and prepared to spontaneous. And we'd like you to place yourself on that graph.
So it would be, how would you represent your creative life?
Okay. Well, before I had a creative life, I was an applied math major. So mine will probably just be a dot.
Okay. That's a point, a zero length dot.
A point on the axes.
Okay. Yes. Which you will label extremely neat.
I was trying to figure out how to get the z-axis on this. So I completely understand.
Okay.
One would imagine that when you're writing, you're kind of in the solo.
Right. Definitely.
Sort of somewhere around prepared and spontaneous.
But yeah, because like that raises the question, are you, in the words of Alex Sokoloff, a planner or a pantser?
Right, exactly. And it varies depending mm-hmm. on what I'm working on. For the YA nonfiction, I'm much more on the prepared end.
Uh-huh.
I like to do a bunch of research first. I like to have an outline before I start writing.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like to have it figured out what my themes are going to be before I start. For the picture books, you know, I just showed you a sneak peek at My Dog is the Best. You know, those have to be spontaneous. You can't sit down and plan it. You just have to sit down and write it. And so, you know, that would be way at the other end of the spectrum.
Okay.
And so I think that's why I do both. Because I like to have both. And, mm-hmm. I'm always working on at least one of each at the same time. So that if I don't feel like being prepared and organized that day, I can just go play.
Uh-huh.
And if I'm not feeling super creative and spontaneous that day, I can sit down with my outline and just do what's next.
Mm-hmm.
So I really like to have both. I'm going to put it right in the middle of that one and say,
okay.
They're equal, I think. I think we're half and half.
It's your graph. You can put whatever
all right,
you want on it.
So I'm going to put it like here. I'll explain the other axis for you.
Oh, please.
If that
yes.
helps.
No.
It bothers you that I went right on the line, but...
No.
So I put it more towards solo, but not all the way towards solo, even though most of the time I'm writing by myself and the actual creative work is by itself. I find that sharing my work is so valuable and important. I have a great critique group. There are 8 of us now that meet every 2 weeks all year long. And we just read each other's work and give each other feedback on ways to make it better. And, you know, a lot of the times they'll say something that I hadn't even thought of. And it's this kind of aha moment. And yes, that's what it's missing. And I'll go do that. And a lot of times they'll say exactly what I knew was wrong with it, but didn't want to go back and fix. You know, I was hoping I could slip it through and nobody would notice because it was the hard part that I didn't want to have to fix. And and there they are going, yeah, I'm like, oh, okay. Darn it. Yeah. So back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, their feedback and, you know, if you go to a conference, you get feedback from a professional editor or agent on, you know, what they think it needs, things like that. And the editors that I work with once I sell a book, you know, always it takes it to the next level. And you think you're done and you think, oh, I just can't work on this anymore. And then they say something. It's like, ooh, yeah, that does make it so much better. Yeah. And so even though I put it way more towards the solo because that's where I spend the most time, that collaborative piece is so important.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to rate it in importance, it might be
creep over there.
Yeah, exactly. Because I couldn't do it alone.
Right. We're going to move on to section 5 of the character sheet. It is superpower.
Your
superpower. Now there are 3 columns there.
Ooh.
You get to choose one from each column, and the question is, what superpower of those 5 listed do you think you have? What superpower do you think other people think you have? And what superpower would you like?
Gosh, I don't know. What superpower would people think I had? I kind of want to choose have, seem, want. All for the same one.
That's it. There is nothing stopping you from doing that.
It seems not at all logical, though.
Nothing stops.
And you know, the other four are important, too. So I hate to just completely ignore them.
Well, no, but generally your first instinct is usually the correct one. So what was your first instinct here?
I would put them all in telepathy.
Okay. So what is it about telepathy that is especially attractive or is calling to you?
You know, your description there, sensing thoughts and feelings. I think in order to be a good writer, mm-hmm. you need to understand emotion. And you need to have a great deal of empathy. Be able to put yourself in another situation and really get what that would feel like and share what that would feel like. My second book, Emmanuel's Dream, is about, it's a true story, a biography of a man named Emmanuel Yeboah from Ghana. Mm-hmm. He was born with one leg. And at the time, disabled people in his country were treated like second-class citizens, almost untouchable. They weren't supposed to go to school. They weren't allowed to have jobs. You know, oftentimes mothers would just abandon them. I was really attracted to his story. I thought it was really inspiring. And I started working on it, And my husband said to me, he's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "What is an able-bodied white girl from Wisconsin know about a disabled African?" Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. he's like, "You can't write that story." And, you know, I was like, "Oh, geez, you're right." You know, I had this moment of panic. Like, you're right. I shouldn't write the story. You know, how can I write this story? And so, I spent a couple of days thinking about that and thinking, what is it about his story that draws me to it? You know, why did I connect with his story in the first place? And why did I want to write about it? And, you know, a lot of the themes in my work I've come to realize are the underdog. I think, you know, I was female in a software engineering world.
In a Dungeons and Dragons
game. You know, a lot of my life I've sort of felt like the outcast, or like people had very low expectations of me. And I always felt like a little bit of the underdog. And, you know, I think I know what it's like to be discounted automatically before mm-hmm. anybody even knows who you are or what you're mm-hmm. capable of. You know, I'm shy and I'm quiet and nobody expects me to go do something big. And so, you know, that I felt like I could really identify with his situation mm-hmm. despite having nothing at all in common with him. Yeah. Yeah. And so when I wrote the book, that's what I had to get in touch with, was that emotion and that feeling. That's why I put it for all three, I think.
Yeah. Well, and so the want, clearly you think you have some of it. So what'll take you to the next level of telepathy, do you think?
Yeah, what will take it to the next level? I don't know. I think just experience. I think the more we experience, the more we have to draw from. I think the more experiences I have, the better writer I'll be. So.
Our final question today, Lori, is about luck.
Wasn't very lucky here today, was it?
Your die rolls were not the greatest, no. The question is about whether you believe in luck, whether luck plays a role in your life somehow.
I had to write a paper to this effect when I was in college. I remember the argument was luck, fate versus self-determination and will. And I figured I was going to get an F on that paper because I could not get myself to take a stand. Right down the middle again. I believe in luck. But I believe it is so impacted by what we do with it or don't do with it. I believe in both equally. Mm. You know, I feel so lucky to have found my agent and have that connection. would I have found her if I hadn't been working for all those years and researching agents and meeting people and talking to writers about who's your agent and why do you like them? And, you know, I put a great deal of effort into identifying the agency that I wanted for me and the agent that I got. And so, yes, I'm very fortunate. It worked out perfectly. But I also worked really hard for it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the same with publishing. It's like a lot of people want to publish books and they never get the chance. And so I feel very fortunate, very blessed that I get to do that and that, you know, I'm having this opportunity. At the same time, I've been working at it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, part of luck is just persistence and not being willing to give up. But yet there's definitely some undeniable coincidences that have occurred and, you know, right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. You're not in the right place at the right time if you don't put yourself out there. But right. You can put yourself out there and not have those things happen, too. So there is a certain element of luck. There's a certain element of will and determination. So
our last thing is to let you promote whatever is out there or is coming up or that you want people to know.
Well, Be a Changemaker is out and available anywhere books are sold. So I do hope people will check it out about youth empowerment and doing good in the world. And my website is lauriethompson.com. Mm-hmm. On Twitter, I'm at Laurie Thompson. So pretty easy to find and remember. Okay. Emmanuel's Dream is the next one. It comes out in January of 2015. And then My Dog is the Best comes out in June 2015. So two Excellent. More next year.
We will look for that.
Just a steady cadence of new work to look forward to. That's fantastic. Well, this was great. I was going to say fantastic again. I'm saying that far too much.
Well, you did a great job of leading me into doing the closer.
Oh, okay.
But I'm just looking at you saying, you do the closer. No, but you could say fantastic a couple more times.
Fantastic.
And one of them will be non-ironic enough for me to put in the podcast. We have a good time, Laurie, in case you didn't notice.
I had a great time.
Well, good. Good. We're glad you enjoyed yourself. We had a wonderful time talking with you. I am looking forward to reading Be a Changemaker because I work with a local middle school. I've worked with my fraternity. It's interesting. I find every time I end up talking with kids today, either at the middle school or college students or whatever, I am actually more optimistic about the future, certainly than if I watch television.
Yeah, I am too.
The reality is very positive. So, yeah. I think this is a very cool idea for a book. And we really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. This was a great discussion. It was fantastic.
Our guest today has been a children's author and applied mathematician.
Not anymore.
Laurie Thompson. Thanks so much for joining us, Laurie.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for joining us on The Artist Rolls. We'll see you in the new year with more fun new perspectives on creators and creating. While you're waiting for The Artist Rolls to come back from the holidays, why not head on over to onenewmess.com, bringing you fun-sized doses of sci-fi comedy strangeness. Thanks, and Sean and I wish you all very happy holidays.
I have a piece of music I put in the middle of every.
And does it go like that?
It does.
It does, actually.
It starts off
that's pretty close.